In the name of Jesus,
amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. The hymn of the day we just sang basically says it all in terms of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel reading and this hymn, like the very best hymns of the church, preaches to us. It preaches to us Jesus Christ and him crucified. For it is Christ himself in his holy body who is the temple of the church. Christ himself. It was not the temple erected in Jerusalem, the temple that had been destroyed twice prior to today's gospel reading, or had certainly fallen in disrepair one time and been completely destroyed another. This temple in Jerusalem would be destroyed 30 years after Jesus' death, never to be built again. Jesus comes to the Passover in Jerusalem. That mention of the Passover, the first time in the Gospel of John, should cause us to look ahead to three Passovers later, when Christ would be offered up on the cross as the Paschal Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And in today's gospel reading, reference to that is made. Reference to the fact that Jesus' body would be destroyed in death, and yet, on the third day, he would raise it up again, most certainly. So Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and in the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. Now, to understand what happens, we have to understand that there was the temple proper in which only the Jews could enter, and then outside of that temple proper was the courtyard of the Gentiles. This is where non-Jews could come and worship the God of Israel. Well, the temple stood to make a handy profit. You could say it was a fundraiser of a sort, because it was obligatory for all Jews who were able to come to Jerusalem for the Passover. And they had to offer the sacrifice of an animal for their sins in Jerusalem. Some of these Jews came from a long way, from Galilee, from Egypt, from other parts of the Mediterranean world. And it would be difficult for them to bring a sacrificial animal to offer up on account of their sins. So the temple authorities said, well, here's what we can work out. We can sell sacrificial animals, guaranteed to be unblemished, guaranteed to meet all the requirements that God demands of an animal sacrifice. How would these Jews who came from far off lands pay for these animals? Well, they couldn't use Roman coinage because on Roman coins there was an image of the emperor, a graven image, if you will, and for the Jews that was a no-no. So money changers set up court in the courtyard of the Gentile. They set up their stands. And if you came with foreign currency, they would gladly exchange it for currency that could legally be used by the Jews in Jerusalem, legal tender for the temple. And they, too, stood to make a handy little profit, taking their cut by exchanging this money. Now again, this was set up in the courtyard of the Gentiles. God's house was to be a house for all nations. And in the Synoptic Gospels, Jesus quotes that passage when he rebukes the sellers of the animals and the money changers. And yet the Gentiles were crowded out. They could not come to stand even in the outer courts to worship the one true God. And Jesus was infuriated on account of this. Because after all, in 3 years, Jesus was going to die, not just for the Jews, but for the sins of all people, Jews and Gentiles alike. And so he was infuriated when he saw what was going on. He was incensed, and he took a whip of cords, much like the whip that he would be beaten with 3 years later, although that whip had pieces of jagged metal and shards of pottery in the 9 strands of it. And it stripped his back so that it looked like hamburger. Anyway, Jesus made the whip and he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned the tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." And his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me, will eat me up." Now, here we are 2,000 years later. As I said, there is no temple in Jerusalem. So, what does this passage have to say to us today? How does it speak to us here in Newton, North Carolina, at Little Mount Olive Lutheran Church? How does God direct the law in this passage to our hearts to call us to repentance and to faith in His Son? And where is the gospel, the good news of forgiveness in Christ our Savior? Well, there are multiple things going on here. Multiple things. First, the temple had been subverted from its purpose as a meeting place for the God of the universe by the very fact of the merchandising, the fundraising, if you will, going on there. The temple was to be a house of prayer for all nations, where all people could come to God and call upon Him. But what was also going on here is that these oxen and sheep and pigeons were no longer needed. There was no need for further animal sacrifice. Because He who is the Lamb of God from the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ, our Savior, was now present in the flesh in this temple of God. And the animals would no longer be needed because, again, Jesus, the Lamb of God, was the once and final sacrifice. The goats of sheep and bulls cannot take away sin, nor cleanse our consciences. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can do that. And that is what is central in the life of the church. Christ in Him crucified, as Paul writes in the epistle reading, speaking of the word of the cross. Speaking, we preach Christ crucified. That is a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those who are called by the Holy Spirit, Christ is the power of God for salvation. He is the wisdom of God made known to us. It may seem folly to other people,
It may seem like foolishness to those outside. It may seem like weakness. But Paul tells us the foolishness of God is wiser than men, wiser than anything my mind can devise, wiser than anything your mind can devise, wiser than anything all of our minds can devise forever. And the weakness of God, made known perfectly in the cross upon which our Lord died, is stronger than man. Here's the deal. Here's what it's all about. When we allow anything else in the church to take central place, we've turned the church into a house of trade. We've turned the church into a den of merchants. It doesn't have to be fundraisers or anything like that. It can be our own schemes to grow the church, our own schemes to bring people into the church. It is the Lord who adds daily to the church those who are being saved. It is not you, it is not me. It is the Holy Spirit who, through the means of grace, calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies, as He has done for each of you, as He has done for the whole Christian church on earth. Christ alone, anything else, and the church becomes an abomination to God. The Greek word for abomination sounds kind of like the noise you make when you're vomiting. It's pretty much what it sounds like. The Jews wanted to know what sign Christ would do to show us He had the authority to clean out the temple, to cleanse it. And His answer was somewhat perplexing. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And they're confounded. Well, this temple has been in the process of being rebuilt for 46 years. And in fact, it would not be completed for another 30 years or so. And you're going to raise it up in 3 days? How can that be? He's a madman. Well, John tells us that Jesus, rather, was speaking about the temple of His body. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, the disciples remembered that He had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. It took them 3 years to grasp what He had said. And they were with Jesus every day, following Him, listening to Him preach and teach, watching Him heal the sick, make the lame to walk, the blind to see, casting out demons. They sat around the fire with Him at night and talked with Him. I'm sure they told jokes with Him, but they still did not get it. They still did not understand until after Jesus had died at the hands of the Romans and the Jews, you could say at the hands of all people everywhere, for the sins of all people everywhere, and had been raised again. That was when they got it. Well, how about you? And me. How long have we been members of the church? Have there been times we have strayed away? I know I did, for about 12 years. Have we failed to give God's word the reverence due it, to gladly hear preaching in God's word, not despise these things, but to gladly hear them and learn them, read, mark, and inwardly digest them? If we do so, we are exhibiting our folly, our foolishness. We are despising the wisdom of God. You see, the temple is not in Jerusalem. That temple was destroyed nearly 2,000 years ago. The temple is not this building or the main sanctuary over there. God does not dwell in houses made of hands. Stephen, the martyr, the deacon, preached, and that's what got him stoned at the hands of the temple officials. Here is the temple, the body of Christ, and here is what I want you to know. St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2, "Do you all together know that you all together are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells within you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you all together are that temple." At the time Paul wrote this, Christians met in houses. There was no official place for them to meet, and yet Paul still uses that word temple to apply to the congregation at Corinth, and by extension to all Christian congregations in the Mediterranean world. And I think we can safely say that that applies to us, the members of Mount Olive Lutheran Church. But Jesus was speaking of the temple of his body. How about this, that Paul also writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, "Now you all together are the body of Christ, and individually members of that body." Paul goes on to make the case that, well, just because the finger is not a head, it can't say, "I'm not a member of the body." Just because the right earlobe is not a foot, it can't say, "Well, I'm not a member of the body." No. You together are the body of Christ, and individually, each one of you is a member, a living part of that body. So the body of Christ, the temple of Christ, is us. Us here together. Us among whom Christ is present in his word and in the sacraments. A body needs to be nourished. A body needs to be taken care of. Otherwise, it dies, it falls into disrepair, it sickens and grows weak. So it is with the living body of Christ, this congregation, and the whole Christian church on earth. And Christ Jesus, who is the head of the body, has provided for the nourishment of that body through the Word of God. If you neglect the Word, if you ignore preaching, the proclamation of that Word, reading the Word, the teaching of that Word, your faith will grow weak. In fact, you might wander off into folly, headstrong foolishness. Christ nourishes his body by the Holy Sacrament. Our Lord, who has made us his body, gives us his body and blood for us to eat and drink. And partaking of his body and blood, we are strengthened
to live lives of faith together as the people of God baptized into Christ Jesus, as the body of Christ known as Mount Olive Lutheran Church. These are the things that are central. The gospel, God's word, the holy absolution, holy baptism, the holy supper of Christ's body and blood. What is not essential? Bickering, quarreling, hard feelings, unforgiveness, trying to direct the church by our own foolish wisdom rather than the wisdom of God? No, we don't do that, do we? Because we together are the temple of God. So the money changers and the sellers of merchandise, stay out. We want Jesus among us. Jesus in His Word, Jesus in our baptism, Jesus in the sacrament of His body and blood. That's what makes us His temple. That's what makes us together a body of Christ. That's what makes us together a dwelling place for the triune God. You've probably heard me say multiple times, it's all about Jesus. It is. That may be a pet phrase of mine, but that doesn't make it any the less true. It is all about Jesus. And tonight, if you will, at 6 o'clock, you can hear the second installment of this sermon based on the epistle reading about the word of the cross, about Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Oh, and also come at 5 o'clock and you can have something to eat as well. But remember, it's Christ who is central. It's Christ who is foundational. It's Christ upon whom your salvation depends. Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen. We confess our faith in the words of the